Hello everyone, I'm Manal Abbasi, your podcast host for today. In today's episode, I will be interviewing Dr. Essence Johnson, who is an experienced optometrist. Let's dive right into the ins and outs of this profession and get a couple of tips as well.
Aspiring Doctors is a platform dedicated to providing individuals with opportunities to learn more about medical careers despite the COVID-19 pandemic.
All right, Dr. Johnson, can you please tell me a little bit about yourself?
Hi, so I am Dr. Essence Johnson. I'm an HBCU-made, residency-trained community and correctional health optometrist. So what that means is that I graduated from Prairie View A&M University, which is an HBCU in Prairie View, Texas, and then I went on to study optometry at the Pennsylvania College of Optometry at Salis University, where afterwards I completed a residency in ocular disease. And then I began working in Southeast Texas, and before I eventually made it to where I am now in Dallas, Texas, where I practice at one of Parkland Hospital's community outpatient clinics, as well as our Dallas County Jail.
Wow, well, that sounds very interesting. So we could just dive right into the questions. What challenges were you faced with as a high school, undergrad, and postgrad student?
When I think back during that time, one of my biggest personal or familial challenges had to do with just one, going away from home for college. So I'm originally from Southern California, and like many students, probably at first, you look at just the colleges that are very local to you. So I had in my mind that I was going to go to a college not too far from home, study biology, and then go on to optometry school. I kind of knew by high school that I wanted to be an optometrist. But then I had a phone call that essentially changed my life. The department head at Prairie View A&M University gave me a call just one day, I remember, at home, and it was like, "We want you to come to our school. We're giving you a scholarship. Do you want to come?" And at that time, I really never traveled outside of California except for one field trip me and my friend fundraised for, and we went to Florida. But outside of that, I never really traveled beyond California. So one of the challenges I faced was whether I should leave home and leave my comfort zone. But fortunately, I have a very supportive family that always told me you can always come back home, and they encouraged me to take that opportunity to go to Texas and to go to school for free, which I'm very happy that I did take on that challenge. But one of the biggest challenges that kind of started when I was in undergrad and continued on in optometry school was that my mother fell very ill with cancer. So it was kind of an ongoing challenge on kind of what parts of you do you disclose to the school or your friends or other things so that they can have more empathy and more support of your situation. But you also sometimes don't want your personal situations to become an obstacle in and of itself. But eventually I got to a point where I had to share with my friends in the school that my mom was very sick. With a very chronic and terminal condition, and it affected just my rotations, my clinics, and things like that. I was very fortunate to have a lot of preceptors and to have the school be very flexible so that I did not fall behind, so that I was able to be there with my family and with my mother ultimately until her last and final days. But that was probably one of the biggest challenges I had to overcome during my schooling, but also so far kind of in life, is dealing with the life and then death of a parent while you are also faced with pursuing your future and your goals as well.
All right, well, it sounds like you've had quite a journey through your undergrad and postgrad life. But I know it is a long journey. So was there any time that you doubted yourself? And if so, how did you overcome those doubts?
Oh, I think when isn't there a time that we don't doubt ourselves? There's always those voices inside of our head, And then there's also those external voices as well. But any times that I doubted on myself, one, I look back onto my family's words with the whole mantra of focus and finish. That kind of at any cost, whether there are setbacks or those things that kind of propel you forward, to just stay focused and finish. I also have a very strong foundation and root in my faith and my spiritual aspect. So definitely when I ever felt like I was doubting myself, I did turn inward and look more and lean on more of my understanding of the Word of God and the Bible, and using that as my stepping stones anytime that I felt a little unsure of myself.
Yeah, I totally definitely understand that, turning to religion and spiritual being and relying on that for inner peace. And it's human nature, but we just have to believe in ourselves. So now that you are an optometrist, what is a regular day at work for you like? How many patients do you see in a day, and how is the flexibility in your work like?
Definitely no 2 days are the same, even if what I'm doing clinically is very similar. The people that I encounter is definitely what adds variety to the day. Some days it seems like you see no one and everyone all at the same time. We always have our targets and our goals of how many people we would like to see, but I would say even since the pandemic, we really altered what does productivity as far as patient care looks like. And so I am doing a lot more of physical patients that I examine, as well as virtual patients that we screen remotely. We do a retinal screening program here where patients with diabetes can get photos done of their eyes, and we can use those photos to determine how soon or how urgent they need to be seen in the clinic physically for a full dilated eye exam. So that definitely adds to the number of non-physical patients that I see in the day. And then I would say flexibility-wise, in the hospital system, or at least in my community clinic, the one part I do like is kind of that consistency and predictability of schedule. So unless you're falling behind on patients, you really don't have to worry about working too late in the day, working on holidays or on weekends. And for me, and especially being a mother of two smaller kids and a wife, it is nice to know that I can have some of the same holidays that my children, my husband, who's in a school teacher, to have those days off, where a lot of times in other practices, the days that are people off for the days offices want to be open to really cash in on the patient's flexibility. But it's nice to work at a place that also gives a little bit of flexibility to the physician or the provider as well.
All right, well, that does sound very flexible, the optometry field. But in your perspective, would you say it's a growing field? And what is the job prospect of this field in the future, in your opinion?
Oh, I definitely think our field is growing. Some people may say or may hear that the healthcare profession, or optometry in particular, is saturated. Honestly, it wasn't until I shifted my mode of practice from private practice to more community health that I feel quite differently, that I do not think that our field is saturated just yet. I've definitely found a lot of interest in serving an underserved population and community. And where I work is particularly, it is statistically and historically known to have just pockets of low socioeconomic status, which also affects access to care. And so when a lot of physicians choose to practice in more urban or more populated areas, you know, put their private practice where the traffic is high, they're only serving one type of demographic. So I definitely think that if you're open to different modes of practice in different places, the field is definitely growing and the prospects for jobs are high. If you look at things that are not just limited to patient care, which is something that I like about optometry, it has a fashion component, a business component, executive component. People can speak in the lecture circuit, do research, be scientists. There's just so many diverse ways that you can practice optometry in medicine in general that also really diversifies the options out there and also increases the amount of opportunities that are there for everyone, just depending on what your niche is and your specialty and your preferences and your interests.
Right. Well, that does sound very rewarding, helping those who are not getting the proper care that they're getting and you helping them. That just sounds very rewarding. And well, in terms of preparation, what type of courses during undergrad do you think prepared you most for optometry school?
Well, that one's an interesting one. I say kind of facetiously, all of them and none of them all at the same time. So when you apply to optometry school, you have to take an admissions test called the optometry admissions test, the OAT. And so there are subjects on there like biology, chemistry, physics, reading comprehension, and mathematics. So I definitely think my undergraduate coursework helped support and prepare me for studying for the admissions test. And I think anyone who kind of majors in any major, as long as you take those biology and other science courses, I think that that will definitely help you in doing well on the admissions test. Now, when I started optometry school, I went to a summer program called the Summer Enrichment Program at PCO at the time. And I remember my first day in that summer program, and they showed me pictures of the brain, which now I recognize they were like MRI and x-ray scans. And I just couldn't believe how after 4 years of a biology degree, I never really was that familiar with that. Also being someone who personally never broke a bone or needed one of those scans done. So I think that there is a lot of things that you're gonna learn in undergrad that helps with the admissions test and set that foundation on kind of how to be studious and how to just kind of process information. But I feel like once you start your optometry program, you're kind of starting from a clean slate and learning new material and learning how to really understand that new material as well.
I see. Well, I remember you saying that you kind of got an idea that this is what you want to do in high school. So before that, is there anything else that you wanted to do, or did you have any other career aspirations?
Yeah, when I was growing up, I was probably like a lot of people where I wanted to be the president of the United States. And now looking back on that, it's like, do I still want to be the president of the United States? Maybe the president of a corporation or organization? I don't know if I want to be the president of the United States, though. But I knew then that to be the president, most people had like some law or government background. So I wanted to be a lawyer, even though my dad has shown me some things where I said I wanted to be a doctor, too. So I guess I was always kind of in between the two. But I distinctly remember kind of leaving middle school and going into high school saying, I want to be a lawyer. And it was actually my paternal grandmother that kind of got me switching gears when she told me that I would go to hell for lying. And I was like, what do you mean, grandmother? Like, I just want to be a lawyer. But when she said that, that kind of got me thinking of what else could I do, should I do? And kind of perfect timing was a career fair during like either middle school or high school that I went to. And there was an optometrist who came, which very rarely do you see optometrists or have I seen an optometrist at the career day. So I was very intrigued to see, what kind of medical professional this person was. And then on top of that, The person was Black, she was African American like me, and a female. And so that really kind of got my brain going, which was quite ironic because one of my really good friends in middle school, her dad, maybe even elementary school, somewhere between middle school and elementary school, her dad was one of our city's optometrists, and eventually I ended up going to him. So I had a little bit of exposure of having someone at least adjacent to me that was a practicing optometrist, but it was that career fair of seeing someone who looked more like me doing optometry that really got me interested, even after wearing glasses since the fourth grade and having my eyes examined. It wasn't until I went to that career day that I became very interested in optometry. And then in my senior year of high school, we had to do a senior project. So that's when I chose to do my project more focused on the optometry profession. And my dad actually got LASIK surgery done during the time so that I could use that for part of my senior project. So I wanted to be a lawyer at first. But thanks to Grandma, I decided to switch gears and do something in the health profession instead.
All right, well, it's good that you have a good support system, right? And speaking of exposure, what type of experiences would best qualify an individual to excel in optometry school?
I think all types of experiences. I think that it is a misnomer to think that only people interested in the sciences can be optometrists or be in the eye care industry. Like I said earlier, optometry, I saw someone write, optometry is one of the only professions or few professions in healthcare that also has a fashion component. So I think that what makes someone a good optometrist or a good doctor is a diverse background, as far as like who you are as a person culturally, but also a diverse skill set. So what are your passions and your interests? What are those other skills you can transfer and infuse into optometry or into the eye care industry to make it better? So I would encourage that if you like kids, there's a place in pediatrics. If you like fashion and design, you can design eyewear and prescribe it as well. I always say optometry is my waitressing job, which means like you can use it as a springboard and a stepping stone to so many different avenues within and even beyond the profession. So if you like to speak and do podcasts, there's a place for you as an optometrist in the eye care industry. So I would say all types of experiences, all types of people definitely enriches our profession.
All right. Well, there are many responsibilities for an optometrist, right? So what would you say is the most frustrating or most challenging part of that job, of your responsibilities?
I think the most frustrating part is kind of the healthcare system in general. An example I will give, like my favorite part about the profession is definitely my patients. I love the fact that you're kind of like a magician, so to speak. I can look into people's eyes and tell them what conditions they have even without reviewing the chart a lot of times. But what becomes frustrating is that when you diagnose these conditions, even something as simple as dry eye, when you're unable to provide certain aspects of care because of like insurances. I had a patient who has had dry eye. I've treated their dry eye. I give them something more than just lubricating drops. We prescribe a medication that has cyclosporin in it. And it commonly goes by the brand name Restasis. So there are sometimes insurances don't cover that medication, or here, you know, in the hospital system, it took a long time for it to be a covered medication on our formulary. But when other people come and their insurance is saying that they can't have that medication, and then you have to go through a lot of paperwork to explain. And sometimes even after you do all the research, all the documentation, all the explaining, the insurance company or the pharmacies or other entities can dictate and say, nope, you can't prescribe that. And already in optometry, there's kind of a limited list of medications that we use to treat. So when you are limited in already a very limited list and you want to provide the best care for your patient, or you know that this medication is exactly what your patient needs, or they've used it in the past, but now they're saying we got to switch to something else and there's not an alternative. That for me is probably the most frustrating aspect sometimes of our job. It's just the kind of the flaws in our healthcare system and in our government that kind of limits access to care for patients.
All right, well, that makes sense. And I think you've already gotten to your most enjoyable part of your job. As you said, it was your patients and how it feels like magic looking into their eye and you can figure out what's wrong with it, right? So is there anything that you would change about your profession, about your everyday life and your work field? Any changes that you would want to bring, or do you like it just the way it is?
Oh, definitely. There are, I would say, some enhancements or improvements that I would like to bring to our profession. It is forever evolving and changing, and that piece of what can we do to enrich our profession, what can we do to bring about some transformational change, what can we do to increase our diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts in eye care is why I'm a part of Black Eye Care Perspective, which is an organization that was founded by one of my schoolmates and another colleague, Drs. Daryl Glover and Dr. Adam Ramsey, to help cultivate and foster these relationships between African Americans in the eye care industry. And starting last year, myself and another schoolmate, Dr. Jacoby Cleaver, we helped co-found and we also co-advise the Black Eye Care Perspective Pre-Optometry Club, where we find interested students. They can be Black, African American. We also have other minority members that are interested in healthcare or specifically interested in optometry. And we help provide resources and support to make sure or to ensure that they're not discouraged on their journey through starting off as just an aspiring student and then becoming that pre-optometry student and then eventually optometrist. So that has definitely also brought more purpose and joy to me, and also a way that I can give back to my industry and help enhance or improve my industry as well by help fostering that pipeline of students that are interested into the profession, making sure that we recruit them and retain them as they pursue applying into the schools, and then also help support and sustain them as they get through school, they take their boards, and then transition as a professional in the industry, as well as helping them as doctors find, you know, kind of where their niche is in the profession. What else can they do if they desire, in addition to providing care for the patients, how can they too help promote change, be an agent of change, be a leader of opinions in our industry, but also help transform our industry and enrich healthcare overall.
Everything that you are, all your answers have been so inspiring for me, and I'm sure they'll inspire many others too. And that actually just brings us to the end of our podcast. So thank you so much, Dr. Jansen, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for having me.
All right, everyone, that concludes today's episode on optometry. Thank you for joining us, and thank you so much, Dr. Essence Johnson, for coming on our podcast. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at aspiring_doctors to learn more about aspiring doctors and our online conferences.